Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
The thing that impressed me so much is that all through the events of the Passion of Christ, the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, there were so many second chances given, so many opportunities given by God, whereas if it were up to men, probably those opportunities would not be afforded. I remember when Terry and I first moved to Morrilton, Arkansas, and we moved from an area of the country that had already been integrated, and we moved down to Arkansas where things were still segregated, and it was amazing to go into doctor's offices or even into the hospital, and they had the waiting rooms for the whites and the waiting rooms that back then they called it colored. They had separate buses for the children in school, and they might call it the early bus and the late bus, but one was for the white kids and the other one were for the black kids. And I am thankful that we have come so far in our country that where now decisions about people aren't made just on their color. We don't make decisions about somebody because of the way they appear to us or by their education. And I'm just thinking of progress that has been made even in Terry's and my short life. I remember there was this one young man that had befriended Terry's younger brother, Ted. And he would come over to the house, and when he wanted to knock on the front door, he would run up on the steps, knock on the door, and then run back down off the steps because people of color were not allowed to be on the porch of the white folks. And that's not how Terry and I were raised. And it took Terry probably several months to convince this young man that it was okay for him to come up on the porch and to knock on the door and then not run off the porch again.
It was just a few weeks.
Okay.
What you didn't know, because you were off working, it was daily.
Right.
Daily.
All right.
I love that young man.
Yeah. And so it took Terry a couple of weeks then to let him understand that we weren't like other people and it's okay to stand on our front porch. And then one day we were eating and he knocked on the door and Terry invited him into the house and to come into a house like that. It was just, oh no, you don't do this. And he came in and I think Terry had fixed pork chops or something. And he looked at what we were eating and he said, oh, y'all must be rich. And, man, it's potatoes and pork chops, you know. And it was so interesting to see that he had grown up in a part of the country and in an era of time where you were judged for the color of your skin and not for your character or not for your intelligence or not for your education, but just very quickly looked at and then either accepted or dismissed by the way that you look. And I am just so pleased that God doesn't work that way. Amen? And so as we're looking at the story of Resurrection Sunday morning, and we see in John chapter 20 in the first verse, it was the first day of the week, Sunday morning, and Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb of Jesus. And Mary was one of those people of ill repute. She was a person that good society, genteel society would have nothing to do with because she was one of those girls. And yet, when it comes to the one who is there bright and early on Sunday morning to check on the body of her Savior, Jesus Christ, to be there with the spices and everything to prepare His body for burial. Who was it? Was it one of His disciples who had followed Him for 3.5 years? Was it one of the Pharisees or the priests or the king or a prince or something like that? No, the first person to arrive on the scene was a lady of ill repute. Now, of course, that's not the way that Jesus saw her, because she had repented of her sins, and Jesus had told her, now go and sin no more. And so she had given her life, surrendered herself to Jesus, and was serving Him, and had turned her back on sin. But you have to know that the good and proper ladies of the community didn't see her that way. Did they? Yes, Mary had a reputation, but it was Mary who was there bright and early in the morning. Not one of the disciples, not one of the ones that Jesus had just spent the most, you know, devoted time for 3.5 years. It was this lady of ill repute. And she received the blessing of being the one to be notified that the tomb was empty. And so I thank God this morning, first of all, that God does not care about our history. Amen? God does not care about our past. He doesn't care what family we came from. I remember when I was first saved, I used to think, God, boy, did you get a catch with me. I mean, I'm from a decent family, and I'm, you know, working on getting an education, and I love you, and I'm serving you, and all. And it didn't take me too long of living for Jesus to figure out that, yeah, He got a catch with me, all right. It's like a catch of fish about 3 or 4 days old that begins to stink just a little bit. And so God does not care what our history was, what our family background is, whether we belong to the senator's family or the president's family or whomever's family. All He cares is that we have surrendered our life to Him. Amen? That you can't have sinned too much for God to be able to forgive you. Amen? You can't be too bad. The Bible says, for where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And so I praise God that the first thing that we learned about on Easter Sunday morning is that He will use anybody of any background to accomplish His perfect will, as long as we surrender our lives to Him. And then what did Mary do? She returned back to the disciples where they were hiding out, these big brave men, you know, sent a woman on to see how the body of Jesus is faring. And she comes back and she tells the disciples. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 20 that out of all the disciples that were there, two of them decided to go check it out. And it was Peter and John. Peter was a little bit older. John was the youngest of the bunch. And it says that they both ran out. And I imagine that Peter, being the one that would just, you know, really make it, do his activity before he ever really thought about it much, he is probably the first one out the door. But John, very quickly in his youth, surpassed him and got all the way down to the tomb. And finally Peter comes along. And together they look in, and they saw in verse 4, and he bent down and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been laid on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciples disciple who reached the tomb first also went in and he saw and he believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. And so the next thing that I see is that Jesus will use you regardless of your age. You had probably the oldest of the disciples, and then absolutely the youngest of his disciples, and they, as long as they were obedient, they went to the tomb. And they, it says, and John saw and he believed. See, John doesn't refer to himself in any of his writings. He'll say, the one that Jesus loved, or it, like it says in this case, the other disciple who reached the tomb first. But he doesn't use his own name. And so what we see here is, it doesn't matter where you are in your life, whether you're, like we were joking earlier, the youth group, like Terry and me and I guess Grace, we're the youth group here in the church. Doesn't matter whether you're young, it doesn't matter whether you're old, it doesn't matter where you are in your life as far as age is concerned. God is just looking for somebody who's obedient. But Pastor, you're saying these are the only two. Well, where are the other nine disciples? Okay? Where are the others? They're back there, holed up in some room somewhere, scared to death that the Romans or the Jews are going to be coming for them. And so of all the people that Jesus dedicated his life to, poured his teachings into, only two dared to go out and venture down to the tomb and see that the tomb was empty. And it says, when they saw this, they didn't understand, but they believed. They didn't quite have it all sorted out in their mind yet, but they believed. Jesus has risen from the dead. And then I like this last point, beginning in verse 11. Here's Mary. She's come along also. And for her, nothing has been settled. She's been there. She's noticed that the stone is rolled away. She went back and told the disciples. Two of them came and verified, yes, the tomb is empty. But she came this morning because she had a task. Her last loving ministry to the Lord to prepare His body for the tomb. And now somebody has stolen the body of Jesus. And it doesn't say that she was just kind of crying. She was weeping. Her heart was broken. And there, as she's bending over to look into the tomb, she sees two angels. Now wait a second. Didn't Peter and John just look in there? Weren't they just there? And they didn't see the two angels? What, you think the two angels were taking a coffee break or something, and Peter and John missed them? They weren't there, or were they there and they just weren't looking for them? See, I think Mary looked into the tomb and she was seeking. She wanted answers. She looked in and saw the same thing that Peter and John saw, but she saw something else. Two angels sitting there. And she's just totally overwhelmed. But still Jesus is nowhere to be found. And so she turns and there's somebody else standing there asking her what's wrong. And she thinks it's the gardener. He says, sir, if you've taken his body, if you've placed his body somewhere else, please let me know that I can go and I can tend to the body of my Lord. And the Bible says that Jesus responds with a word, Mary. Mary. Jesus responds with a word, Mary. And Mary looks up and she recognizes now, well, this is Jesus that's standing before her. And she is just so excited and she wants to cling to Him. And He's saying, wait, I've not yet ascended to my Father. Some theologians think that Jesus must first present his body, the perfect sacrifice, to the Father. And then, later that afternoon, he's with the disciples and he says, go ahead, put your fingers here. Put your hand here and see that it's me. I am the one who was crucified. But Mary knew the voice of her Savior. Amen? Mary knew the voice of her Savior. We should know the voice of our Savior. How do we know the voice of Jesus? Same way that Mary did. She sat at Jesus' feet and listened to Him teach. She knew His voice. The same way that we can sit at the feet of Jesus, we can open up our Bibles and we can read from His Word and we can almost hear His voice. And when He whispers our name, we know it's Jesus. Amen. And the lesson that God has for us, the last lesson this morning, is that the resurrection is for those who hear their name. They hear the voice of Jesus. And it's an encouragement. And even though she doesn't understand why she can't embrace Him, why she can't cling to Him, still she is so overjoyed. And, you know, it says in verse 18, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. You know, it says she went. I bet she went. I don't think she went skipping down the road. I don't think she went slowly and quietly down the road. I think this lady who had heard the Savior speak her name went running in a most unladylike fashion back down the road. I have seen Jesus. He's alive. Amen? Amen? You know, we may not be able to see Jesus on this Resurrection Sunday morning, but we can hear His voice as He whispers our name, as we just surround ourselves with His Word, to know His teachings, and to rejoice in this greatest of gifts that He's given us, the resurrection, the forgiveness of sins, and the promise of life everlasting. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. God bless. That's the message for this morning, that regardless of where we're from or where we're going, we have hope in Jesus.
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? And just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain, yeah, welcome to the journey.
Green Ministry Team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free Team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need. Building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
All right. All right, praise God. Bob was telling me, what do you call when a preacher places a long distance phone call to another preacher? It's parson to parson.
Okay, I
no, okay. I thought it was funny. So. Okay. All right. Marie, I think, is getting a cup of coffee. And we'll wait for her to get back, and we'll go ahead and get started on the message. And I'm not going to keep you long today, all right? That's good, Pastor, because we've already been here an hour and a half. And yeah, but you were eating most of that, okay?
Yeah. Even though an hour, but yeah. I wish you would just relax and let us enjoy each other.
Okay, we are.
I always feel, and if anybody just feels like they just can't make it any longer and they need to get up and go, and you know,
or just get up and then sit down.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's okay here.
That's right.
This is the place to be to just do whatever you need to do.
Right. This isn't like the church I grew up in where if you did that, my mama would grab you by the ear and haul you down the middle of the aisle for misbehaving. All right. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Again, this is our Resurrection Sunday morning. And as I was looking at the account in the Gospel according to John, beginning at chapter 20, there were a couple of things that really leapt out of the Bible at me, and I just wanted to share those with you this morning. And I guess the thing that impressed me so much is that all through the events of the Passion of Christ, the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, there were so many second chances given, so many opportunities given by God, whereas if it were up to men, probably those opportunities would not be afforded. I remember when Terry and I first moved to Marlton, Arkansas, and we moved from an area of the country that had already been integrated. There we go. And we moved down to Arkansas where things were still segregated, and it was amazing to go into doctor's offices or even into the hospital, and they had the waiting rooms for the whites and the waiting rooms that back then they called it colored, all right? And they had separate buses for the children in school, and they might call it the early bus and the late bus, but one was for the white kids and the other one were for the black kids. And I am thankful that we have come so far in our country that where now decisions about people aren't made just on their color. We don't make decisions about somebody because of the way they appear to us or by their education. And I'm just thinking of the progress that has been made even in Terry's and my short life. I remember there was this one young man that had befriended Terry's younger brother Ted. And he would come over to the house, and when he wanted to knock on the front door, he would run up on the steps, knock on the door, and then run back down off the steps because, people of color were not allowed to be on the porch of the white folks. And that's not how Terry and I, were raised. And it took Terry probably several months to convince this young man that it was okay for him to come up on the porch and to knock on the door and then not run off the porch again.
It was just a few weeks.
It was just a few weeks? Okay.
What you didn't know because you were off working, it was daily.
Right.
Daily.
All right.
I love that.
Yeah. And so it took Terry a couple of weeks then to let him understand that we weren't like other people and it's okay to stand on our front porch. And then one day we were eating and he knocked on the door and Terry invited him into the house and to come into a house like that. It was just, oh no, you don't do this. And he came in, and I think Terry had fixed pork chops or something. And he looked at what we were eating, and he said, "Oh, y'all must be rich." Man, it's potatoes and pork chops, you know. And it was so interesting to see that he had grown up in a part of the country and in an era of time where you were judged for the color of your skin and not for your character or not for your intelligence or not for your education, but just very quickly looked at and then either accepted or dismissed by the way that you look. And I am just so pleased that God doesn't work that way. Amen? And so as we're looking at the story of Resurrection Sunday morning, and we see in John chapter 20 in the first verse, it was the first day of the week, Sunday morning, and Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb of Jesus. And Mary was one of those people of ill repute. She was a person that good society, genteel society, would have nothing to do with because she was one of those girls. And yet, when it comes to the one who is there bright and early on Sunday morning to check on the body of her Savior, Jesus Christ, to be there with the spices and everything to prepare His body for burial. Who was it? Was it one of His disciples who had followed Him for 3.5 years? Was it one of the Pharisees or the priests or the king or prince or something like that? No, the first person to arrive on the scene was a lady of ill repute. Now, of course, that's not the way that Jesus saw her, because she had repented of her sins, and Jesus had told her, "Now go and sin no more." And so she had given her life, surrendered herself to Jesus, and was serving Him, and had turned her back on sin. But you have to know that the good and proper ladies of the community didn't see her that way. Did they? Yes, Mary had a reputation, but it was Mary who was there bright and early in the morning. Not one of the disciples, not one of the ones that Jesus had just spent the most, you know, devoted time for 3.5 years. It was this lady of ill repute. And she received the blessing of being the one to be notified that the tomb was empty. And so I thank God this morning, first of all, that God does not care about our history. Amen? God does not care about our past. He doesn't care what family we came from. I remember when I was first saved, I used to think, "God, boy, did you get a catch with me." I mean, I'm from a decent family, and I'm, you know, working on getting an education, and I love you, and I'm serving you, and all. And it didn't take me too long of living for Jesus to figure out that, yeah, He got a catch with me, all right. It's like a catch of fish about 3 or 4 days old that begins to stink just a little bit. And so God does not care what our history was, what our family background is, whether we belong to the senator's family or the president's family or whomever's family. All He cares is that we have surrendered our life to Him. Amen? That you can't have sinned too much for God to be able to forgive you. Amen? You can't be too bad. The Bible says, "For where sin did abound, grace did much more abound." And so I praise God that the first thing that we learned about on Easter Sunday morning is that He will use anybody of any background to accomplish His perfect will as long as we surrender our lives to Him. And then what did Mary do? She returned back to the disciples where they were hiding out, these big brave men, you know, sent a woman on to see how the body of Jesus is faring. And she comes back and she tells the disciples. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 20 that out of all the disciples that were there, two of them decided to go check it out. And it was Peter and John. Peter was a little bit older. John was the youngest of the bunch. And it says that they both ran out. And I imagine that Peter being the one that would just, you know, really make it, do his activity before he ever really thought about it much. He is probably the first one out the door. But John, very quickly in his youth, surpassed him and got all the way down to the tomb. And finally Peter comes along. And together they look in, and they saw in verse 4, and he bent down and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been laid on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they did not understand the Scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. And so the next thing that I see is that Jesus will use you regardless of your age. You had probably the oldest of the disciples, and then absolutely the youngest of his disciples. And they, as long as they were obedient, they went to the tomb. And they, it says, and John saw and he believed. See, John doesn't refer to himself in any of his writings. He'll say, the one that Jesus loved. Or, like it says in this case, the other disciple who reached the tomb first. But he doesn't use his own name. And so what we see here is, it doesn't matter where you are in your life, whether you're, like we were joking earlier, the youth group, like Terry and me and I guess Grace, we're the youth group here in the church. It doesn't matter whether you're young, it doesn't matter whether you're old, it doesn't matter where you are in your life as far as age is concerned. God is just looking for somebody who's obedient.
Amen.
But Pastor, you're saying these are the only two. Well, where are the other nine disciples? Okay? Where are the others? They're back there holed up in some room somewhere, scared to death that the Romans or the Jews are going to be coming for them. And so of all the people that Jesus dedicated his life to, poured his teachings into, only two dared to go out and venture down to the tomb and see that the tomb was empty. And it says, when I saw this, they didn't understand, but they believed. They didn't quite have it all sorted out in their mind yet, but they believed. Jesus has risen from the dead. And then I like this last point, beginning in verse 11. Here's Mary. She's come along also. And for her, nothing has been settled. She's been there. She's noticed that the stone is rolled away. She went back and told the disciples. Two of them came and verified, yes, the tomb is empty. But she came this morning because she had a task. Her last loving ministry to the Lord to prepare His body for the tomb. And now somebody has stolen the body of Jesus. And it doesn't say that she was just kind of crying. She was weeping. Her heart was broken. And there, as she's bending over to look into the tomb, she sees two angels. Now wait a second. Didn't Peter and John just look in there? Weren't they just there? And they didn't see the two angels? What, you think the two angels were taking a coffee break or something? And Peter and John missed them? They weren't there? Or were they there and they just weren't looking for them? See, I think Mary looked into the tomb and she was seeking. She wanted answers. She looked in and saw the same thing that Peter and John saw, but she saw something else. Two angels sitting there. And she's just totally overwhelmed. But still Jesus is nowhere to be found. And so she turns and there's somebody else standing there asking her what's wrong. And she thinks it's the gardener. She says, "Sir, if you've taken his body, if you've placed his body somewhere, please let me know that I can go and I can tend to the body of my Lord." And the Bible says that Jesus responds with a word, "Mary." Mary. Jesus responds with a word, "Mary." And Mary looks up and she recognizes now, well, this is Jesus that's standing before her. And she is just so excited and she wants to cling to him. And he's saying, "Wait, I've not yet ascended to my Father." Some theologians think that Jesus must first present his body, the perfect sacrifice, to the Father. And then, later that afternoon, he's with the disciples and he says, "Go ahead, put your fingers here. Put your hand here and see that it's me. I am the one who was crucified." But Mary knew the voice of her Savior. Amen? Mary knew the voice of her Savior. We should know the voice of our Savior. How do we know the voice of Jesus? Same way that Mary did. She sat at Jesus' feet and listened to him teach. She knew his voice. The same way that we can sit at the feet of Jesus, we can open up our Bibles and we can read from his word and we can almost hear his voice. And when he whispers our name, we know it's Jesus. Amen. And the lesson that God has for us, the last lesson this morning, is that the resurrection is for those who hear their name. They hear the voice of Jesus. And it's an encouragement. And even though she doesn't understand why she can't embrace him, why she can't cling to him, still, she is so overjoyed. And, you know, it says in verse 18, "And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord.'" You know, it says she went. I bet she went. I don't think she went skipping down the road. I don't think she went slowly and quietly down the road. I think this lady who had heard the Savior speak her name went running in a most unladylike fashion back down the road. "I have seen Jesus. He's alive." Amen? Amen? You know, we may not be able to see Jesus on this Resurrection Sunday morning, but we can hear his voice as he whispers our name, as we just surround ourselves with his word, to know his teachings, and to rejoice in this greatest of gifts that he's given us, the resurrection, the forgiveness of sins, and the promise of life everlasting. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. God bless. That's the message for this morning, that regardless of where we're from or where we're going, we have hope in Jesus.
Amen?
Amen? And we might be separated for a while, like Miss Edith has been separated, and Miss Agnes was separated from us for a little while as she was getting better. But you know what? We always have one a destination, and that is heaven as our home. Amen? Amen. And it's my prayer for each of us that we will know Jesus' voice.
Yes.
that in the depths of our despair or in the heights of our joy, when He whispers our name, we will know, oh, that's Jesus. I know that voice anywhere. Father, You're so good to us. Thank You for this special Resurrection Sunday, for all the fellowship that we've enjoyed. Father, I pray that You would encourage us as we go our ways, that, Lord, we're still not too young or too old, too rich, too poor, the wrong color. Lord, as long as our lives are surrendered to You, You can use us. Lord, we do lift up the Nepali church and ask You, Lord, that You, what men has put asunder, that, Lord, You will bring back into one, into unity again. And we look for a good report on this matter in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's stand up. This pastor, we just stood up 15 minutes ago. That's all right. This time we can stand up and escape. All right. We are a happy lot, aren't we? Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you. Happy Easter Sunday. Happy Resurrection Sunday. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I have.
You know, from reading Wattpad, I learned some new things, like what BFF stands for.
Right.
Best friend forever.
Right.
Jesus is my BFF.
There you go. Amen. Amen. Okay, Terry, you want to take Dad home? Oh, that's right. Okay. No, you're going to our house, Dad. Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm not hanging around.
Okay. You want to take, let me see, do I have a truck key?
I've got the truck key.
I think I've got a truck key if you want to take the car.
It doesn't matter really, Dale.
Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Okay. All righty. Let's turn that.
Stay.
Okay, now this is a Good Friday song. And probably some of you have heard this before.
Carry him gently, my baby. Carry him gently, my child. Carry him far from suffering. Let him rest, let him rest for a while. For a while. I gave him love as a baby. I shared his joy as a child. He died alone, forsaken. Let him rest, let him rest for a while. For a while. Oh, Jesus, your life is unending. Oh, Jesus, my Lord, even death can't take you. Oh, Jesus, our faith is unbending. Oh, Jesus, my Lord, for you are the truth and way. Truth and way. Carry him quickly, my baby. Carry him quickly, my son. Carry him far from suffering. His work, his work.